Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. In our last program, we began to look in depth at the details of the Muslim prayers concerning the wash, which is called wudu, ablution, or what took place during the prayer, like what Muslims say or what they do. That is how they practice their prayers. Today, we'll continue to learn more about the prayers of the Muslims. And you have to realize that this is very important details for the Muslim prayer. Maybe some of you will hear these things and they start laughing. They think it's not important. No, it is very important to the point that maybe if you do not do it exactly as it is directed by Allah and by Muhammad, then your prayer will not be accepted. And if you do not have the prayer practiced right before Allah and it is not accepted, then you are not a Muslim. Then you will never make it to the paradise of Muhammad. For sure, you will burn in hell forever. So this is very important information. And Muslims must know, as important as it is, that there is contradictions in it, which means you can do it this way or that way, and one of the ways are 100% wrong, which means Muslim prayer will never be accepted. Similar to that, the rest of the contradictions, which we'll be covering as we continue our study regarding the practices of Islam. So without further ado, let's continue with the subject of prayer and the contradictions regarding the saying and the sunnah of Muhammad concerning prayers. Listen to what Anas said. This is a man who said that he used to pray behind Muhammad and Abu Bakr and Umar and Usman. You have to understand, Muhammad is the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam. Abu Bakr is the first successor. Umar is the second successor. Usman ibn Affan is the third successor. Now Anas standing behind Muhammad and the early leaders of Islam. And he said, of course, he's standing behind them. He can hear them. And he heard them when they praise. He said, "The praise be to Allah, the Lord of the world." And they did not mention in the name of Allah, the merciful. Not in the beginning of their prayer, nor in the end of their prayer, using the Quran. But in Sahih Bukhari, that's the correct hadith of Bukhari, he said that Muhammad used to read the Quran. And he extended the words in saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, as he go a little bit longer in the word Bismillah, and go a little bit longer by the word Rahman, and a little bit longer by the word Rahim, which means Muhammad used to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You understand? He's not saying in the name of Allah, the merciful, the merciful, but he used to say in the name of Allah, the merciful, the merciful. As we know, that the word Rahman and the word Rahim are Hebrew words. Most Muslims do not know that. Obviously, all Muslims believe that the Quran is pure Arabic. And both of these words, Rahman and Rahim, have the same meaning in the Hebrew language, which means merciful. So now we ask a question. Did Muhammad say, in the name of Allah, the merciful, in a fast speed or in a slow speed, in the name of Allah, the merciful, or he never actually used these words at all in his prayer. Now, Muslims who are praying five times a day, and they use the statement in the name of Allah, the merciful, they are following the early hadith of Muhammad. And those who do not use the words in the name of Allah, the merciful, in a fast speed or in a low speed, they're following Muhammad in the other hadith. But since these two sayings of Muhammad contradicts each other, I wonder which Muslims are praying the accurate prayer and which Muslims are praying the false prayer. And believe me, any of these differences will cancel the prayer or will make the prayer acceptable to Allah. How about in the middle of the prayer? Bukhari, in his hadith, the correct hadith of Bukhari, said that Muhammad, when he says, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, Allah heard him who say, praise be to Allah. He used to say after it, Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd, O our Lord, to you is the praise. But in the hadith of the Shaykhain, of the two elderly, Muhammad says, when the imam, that is the person who is leading the prayer, stand up, if the imam said, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمَدَهُ, Allah will hear those who will praise him. The person who's standing behind the imam, not the imam himself, but the person who's standing behind the imam, he would say, رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ, our Lord, to you is the praise. Now we have a problem. Should the imam say both statement, that is, Allah heard to whoever praise him, the praise be to you, O our Lord, or the imam will say, Allah hear to who praise him, and the person who stand behind him makes the following statement, our Lord, to you the praises. Which one of the two is accurate? It's a little bit complicated, as I mentioned earlier to you. Islamic prayer is not as simple as we as Christians or Jews think of prayer. How about the magic index finger in Islam, in the Muslim prayer? In the hadith, the saying of Muhammad, we read, when Muhammad said to prayer, he put his right hand over his knee and he lift up his index finger with a little curve, and he would call on Allah without moving his index finger. But others saw Muhammad lift up his finger and he would move it as he called on Allah with it. In another hadith, Muhammad said, the moving of the index finger is annoying to the devil. So once again, we ask the question, do Muslims move their index finger when they pray, or they don't move it? One of these actions is right and the other is wrong. Another hadith about the clothes the Muslim wear when they pray. They asked Muhammad about praying in two sets of clothes. And Muhammad asked the question, is every one of you own two sets of clothes? Which you come to the conclusion that Muslims do not have to pray in two sets of clothing, since some people cannot afford but one set of clothes. But then Muhammad said in another hadith, no one pray among you in one set of clothes. So now we ask a question. Do Muslims have to buy two sets of clothes so that their prayer can be answered by Allah? Or a poor Muslim who has only one set of clothes and pray in it, his prayer will never be accepted by Allah? This is simply another contradiction. Let's move on to something else about Muslims' prayer and the contradiction of the saying of Muhammad in the hadith. For Aisha, the mother of all the believers, this is the 6-year-old wife of Muhammad when he was 51 years old, and Muhammad was not involved with her sexually until she grew up to be 9 years old, and Muhammad at the time was only 54 years. She said that Muhammad used to pray during the night, and I was between him and the Qibla, that is the direction of prayer, which means Aisha was standing in front of Muhammad while he was praying, and he did not have any problem with that. In Sahih Bukhari, Muhammad used to pray and the donkey is between his hand. The dog used to walk in front of Muhammad and he did not move them away. But in another hadith, we'll show you the great respect of Allah and his messenger Muhammad to the women. That is when Muhammad said, nothing will hinder the prayer of the Muslims when he prays except a woman, a donkey, and a black dog. And when Muhammad was asked about why a black dog, not the red or the yellow, Muhammad answered, because a black dog is a demon possessed. So this is a great contradiction. Can Muslim believers pray and their wives standing in front of them, or with a donkey or a dog in front of them walking back and forth? Or this will cut the Muslim prayer as if Muslims have not performed the prayer at all if a woman, a donkey, or a black dog stood before that Muslim man while he's praying towards the direction of prayer, the Qibla. Muhammad said in another hadith to a man who prayed in his house, who came to the mosque later. He said, if you came to the mosque you pray with the people, even if you had prayed in your house. But in another hadith, Muhammad said, you do not pray twice, as when Ibn Amr come to the people while they're praying, he used to sit with them, but he will not pray with them. So he has a question. Can a Muslim pray twice, one at home and one at the mosque? Or if he prayed at home, he just goes to the mosque and sit quietly and does not perform the second prayer. In the hadith, Muhammad assured the Muslims that their prayer will not be accepted if they do not read something from the Quran in their prayer. But in another place, one man came to Ali and he said, I prayed, but I did not mention anything from the Quran. Then Ali asked him, did you complete the bowing down and the kneeling? He said, yes, I did. Ali answered, then your prayer is completed. Now he has a question. Is the Quran, is that important of a book that Muslims must use in their prayer by reading something from the Quran, as we have discovered earlier? Or you don't have to read anything from the Quran, just sit and stand and kneel and do the movement of the Muslim prayer and your prayer will be accepted.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
How about the age of the man who will lead the Muslims as imam in prayer? Muhammad said, no young boys can lead as an imam in the prayer until they reach the age of puberty. But in another hadith given by Umar ibn Salma, that he used to lead the Muslims in the prayer and in the funeral service in the mosque, and he was only 7 or 6 years old. So now we ask a question. Can a young man who has not reached puberty lead the Muslims in the prayer 7, 8, 9 years old? Or he has to be older to be able to lead the Muslims in the prayers as an imam? Another important fact about prayer in the mosque is that the imam stand in the front of the mosque facing Mecca, which is impossible to do if you live here in America, because if you are facing the east while you're here in America, most likely you'll be facing Mars or Venus or some other planet, but you cannot face Mecca from here in America simply because the earth is not flat, as Allah and Muhammad taught the Muslims. So, my dear Muslim friends, if you are a believer in the flat earth and that your prayer is completely acceptable to Allah because you are facing Mecca, you need to rethink your thoughts. Because guess what? Once again, the earth is not flat. The earth is a sphere. And if you are praying facing Mecca in your head, in reality, you are facing some other planet out there, not Mecca. Therefore, your prayer would not be acceptable to Allah. But behind the imam, people stand in lines, perfect line, once again, thinking that they are facing Mecca. What happened if a man stand up in a line by himself? Because the first line is full, and then you got new line behind the first line, and he is just standing there by himself. Muhammad saw a man standing behind the first line alone. So he ordered him to repeat the prayer. Why? Because a prayer of a one man standing in one line by himself is not acceptable to Allah. Even though now we have a contradiction, which is that Muhammad was standing in prayer in the mosque, and Abu Bakr Siddiq, who is Muhammad's father-in-law, the dad of Aisha, Muhammad's favorite wife, the little girl, who became actually the first successor after Muhammad's death. That man, Abu Bakr, came and he stand by himself in a line and he prayed. And Muhammad did not ask him to repeat the prayer, but he actually praised him and he said to him not to repeat his prayer. So now we ask a question. Can a Muslim man stand up by himself in a mosque in one line and pray, or he need to have few more people to stand up with him? And by the way, the standing in a straight line is a very complicated thing, to the point that Muslims believe that if you are in the line, but you are not perfectly in line with the rest of the believers who are standing in that line, meaning you are a foot ahead or 6 inches behind, your prayer will not be accepted. So is the rest of those who are standing in that line. That means the only acceptable prayer in Islam is to be perfectly in perfect line facing Mecca, which is impossible to do, especially if you are in another country like here in America. Once again, because the earth is not flat. Now, how about the imam who's standing in front of the Muslim believers to pray? Can he be in any height, in any position to lead the Muslims in prayer? The answer is absolutely not, because Muhammad said no imam should pray on a higher land than his companions, meaning the imam and the rest of the Muslim believers who, by the way, standing in one perfect line or two perfect lines, but not one person by himself, must be in the same level, not the imam on a high stage and the people behind on a lower ground. But in the same time, we read the contradiction that Salih Mawla At-Tawam said, I used to pray, me and Abu Huraira, on the top of the back of the mosque. You're talking about the second floor. We used to pray with the prayer of the imam, meaning they're not only in a different level, but on the roof of the Muslim believers who are standing to pray. I'm talking about 8-9 feet or so in a higher land. Now, which position is the accurate prayer? Can Muslim pray in different level, or do they all have to pray in one level? Which, by the way, does not make any sense, because sometime, as you see this now taking place in New York and different places in America, people will be inside the mosque praying and outside in the street praying. And believe it or not, the people in the street are few feet higher or lower than those who are inside the mosque. Depend what is the height of the floor of the mosque. Sometimes the mosque in a lower ground, like in a basement, or sometimes the mosque in a higher ground, like in the first or second floor of the building. This is a problem most Muslims do not know of, because if Muhammad teaching that Muslims must pray on the same level, that means all these Muslims who are praying in different levels than the imam, the leaders of the Muslim prayers, that means all their prayers are not acceptable to Allah. Now, Muhammad used to use the word Allahu Akbar in his prayer. But the question is, how many times did Muhammad say Allahu Akbar? For Muhammad kabbara, shouted or said Allahu Akbar in his prayer in the iftar festivals 7 times and the Adha festivals 5 times. That is not counting the takbir of the prayer. That is a normal shout, Allahu Akbar, for the prayer. But it's also given in the hadith that Muhammad used to say Allahu Akbar or shout Allahu Akbar in the Adha festivals and the iftar festivals 4 times. But Ibn Mas'ud said that Muhammad used to say Allahu Akbar 5 times in the festivals of Iftar and 4 times in the festival of Adha. So now we ask a question. Do Muslims shout Allahu Akbar 5 times, 4 times, 7 times, 3 times? How many times Muslims have to say Allahu Akbar in the prayer so that prayer would be performed accurately? Now, there are very important prayer for Muslims, which is the prayer of the eclipse. And we know that Muhammad used to pray the prayer of the eclipse. And in every prayer, he used to kneel 4 times. But in another hadith, actually, he used to kneel 5 times. And in another hadith, he used to kneel 3 times. Even though there's another hadith that when Muhammad's son, Abraham, died, he prayed for the eclipse of the sun, and he kneeled 2 times. So now we ask the question, how many times do Muslims who follow the sunnah of Muhammad, the example of Muhammad, need to kneel if we have the prayer for the eclipse? 5 times? 4 times? 3 times? 2 times? What is the right number for the kneeling to perform such prayers? Now, we know that Muhammad did not pray during any crisis like earthquakes or darkness or the death of anyone. But we also know that Ali prayed when there was earthquakes by kneeling 6 times and 4 bowing. And he knelt 5 times and 2 bowing. And he kneeled 1 time and 2 bowing. And when Ibn Abbas heard that one of the wives of Muhammad died, he fell bowing down. So now we are confused. Are Muslims allowed to pray when crisis happened, when somebody died, or not? And how many times did he kneel and how many times did he bow? Muslims do not have an accurate answer, because if they do not pray, they're obeying Muhammad. But if they do pray, they're obeying the followers of Muhammad, who are supposed to be following Muhammad, following his sunnah, his way of life, his way of prayer. And if they're going to kneel and pray, how many times? Muslims do not know an accurate number for kneeling and bowing in Islamic prayers. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.